Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
You know, as I've just been reflecting on Father's Day this week, I kind of was all over the map thinking about, okay, where do you land on a day like today? And I kept coming back, you know, to one thing that stands out to me most of all. And that is that we all have a faithful Father who's faithful, who's always there for us, who's always dependable. And, you know, at the close of my life, if I were asked to pass on one message to my family, to my children, to my friends, to my fellow believers, I would have no doubt what I would say, what my message would be. And my message would be really, really simple. But God is faithful. He is faithful. And I just want you to reflect on your life and think, okay, from now, from this moment until many years past, has God been faithful to you over the years? It might not look the way you thought or came out the way you were planning, but has he been faithful to you? Through the good times, the bad times, the hard times, the joyous times, he's faithful. Because that's who he is. And he can't be anything other than who he is. And so the reality is that we need to remember, to recount the faithfulness of God. So on this Father's Day, if you take nothing away from this message today, I want you to remember that God is faithful to the end. He will see you through it all. And some of you might be in the middle of the struggle still, and you're wondering, will you be faithful to me again? Are you going to help me through this again? Well, I want to encourage you, he is going to see you through it. He is going to pull you through it. And in that, this theme of faithfulness is something that really runs through the whole Bible. I mean, it's from the beginning to the end. So let's look at Deuteronomy 7:9, because Moses is just admonishing Israel, and he says this: "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." So notice how Moses describes God. He says, the faithful God, the only God, the God who's always faithful. He always comes through. He always keeps his covenant to those who love him and to those who keep his commands. And this same theme even reoccurs many times, you know, in the New Testament. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul says this to the believers: "God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful." So, I mean, he's invited us into this journey, this dance, this relationship through the gospel, to enter into fellowship with himself and with his Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. So basically it's an invitation, Paul is saying, that God doesn't like revoke or pull away. All right, I'm done. It's over with. The reality is if we accept this, we enter into really a dance with the Lord, that we get to discover his faithfulness time and time and time again. He is faithful throughout all of our lives. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul says again in another context that we all experience times of testing, don't we? We all experience times of trials and tests, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you, even in the midst of the test. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust Him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. So God is even faithful when you're undergoing a test or a trial. And perhaps this is applying to you right now. Maybe there's a trial right now that you're going through. The good news is that He's going to enable you to endure it. The severity of it, He will lessen, and He will even help you find a way of escape. So in that, I just want to give you an assurance that even in this trial that you might be going through, God is faithful and true to His word. So that even in what, if it gets heavy or just almost feels unbearable, God is saying, I'm going to pull you through. You know, I love what Joe Jane said to me one time. Joe Jane Korback, our wonderful, beautiful woman of the house, as you all know, Joe Jane. She said, you know what, Sam, if you can stand the pull, God is going to pull you through this thing. Because there was a trial that I was going through in my life, and she just said, just hang on, grab hold of the rope, because He's going to pull you through. And in that, I realized that there are moments where, when I reflect on even David's life, I mean, it's not quite sure how long he ran from cave to cave away from Saul. Some say 7 years, some say 15 years. That's a long trial. But going from cave to cave, God allowed that trial to unfold so that David would learn to trust Him at all times, that God would be faithful to rescue him, to bring him through it. About a month ago, the Lord spoke to me that I was getting ready to enter into a trial. And I began to, you know, ask the Lord just for His strength and encouragement and help as I was going through it. And I really wanted to learn what the Lord was teaching me in this test that I was going through. And I knew that it was going deep in my heart to realize if I was going to trust Him with the very thing that I was needing. And in that, as I was kind of processing and going through it, and it wasn't easy at times, was I sweating it a little bit? Yes. Was I challenged a little bit? Yes. But the reality is that I began to press into Him and I said, Lord, teach me. Forge within me what You want me to learn. And He was wanting me to learn that I could trust Him with everything. I could trust Him with my finances. Anybody have a trial with their finances? Okay. We have trials with in areas of our lives, and He's saying, will you trust me in my faithfulness to you? I will see you through it. I'll never forget the morning a week ago. I was writing in my journal, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, you have passed the test. Today is a day of turnaround. And the next day, the floodgates opened up, the blessings came down. I was overtaken with the goodness of the Lord in my life, such that, I mean, I was dancing in the streets. I mean, I was like, God is good, and he's faithful, and he's true. But he allowed that trial to take place because he wanted to forge deep within me. You know, levels of trust, you just don't learn at one time. It's like he goes deeper, and then he goes deeper, and then he goes deeper. Are you going to trust me? I am faithful, but are you going to trust me? Sometimes we learn through the fire that God will see us through. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, I mean, this is a short and simple statement along the same lines of concerning God. It says this: faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. So whatever God calls any one of us to do, whatever he calls you to do, whether it be at work or at home, or whatever he's calling you to do in your vocation, your ministry, your life, whatever he's calling you to do, he will be faithful to complete it. He's committed to you. He even says that the work that he began in you, he will complete it. He will bring about a finished work in your life. But if we obey him and if we respond to his call, he will enable us to do all that he's called us to do. So I just want to point out to you a couple aspects of God's faithfulness that emerge from the scriptures. And that is that God is faithful to keep his covenant. This is a solemn commitment from God to us that he will come through, and he is a God that cannot lie. When God makes a covenant, he doesn't back away from it. He sticks to it. So if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. He's not like going to make you wonder. He is going to come through. Now, it might not be on your timing, but he is going to come through. The second is that God is faithful to fulfill all that he's called us to do and to be. See, someone has said, I heard this, is that God's calling is his enabling in your life. He's enabling you to fulfill the very purpose that he's called you to. So when he calls you, if you respond, you can count on him to see you through it to the very end of the job that he's calling you to. So I want to return now to this theme of God's faithfulness in that which he calls us to do or to be. Let's remember the scripture. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians again. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Think about that. It's really simple. But as I look at these words, notice the words that says that the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. He's committed to it, the work that he started within you. You know, I really want to highlight the faithfulness of God. There was, as I was growing up and I was in college and I was wondering, relationships were not my strength, and I was wondering if I was ever going to get married. And God spoke to me one day and he said, I have called a woman to be your wife, and he gave me descriptions of her and he laid it out and I wrote it down in my journal. And lo and behold, about a year later, she shows up in front of me. He was faithful to bring me the love of my life, to bring me the one that would love me in my best days and in my worst days. She loves me so much deep inside that it's been so encouraging to me that he was faithful to what he said he was going to do in my life. He was faithful to protect my firstborn, where we almost lost him in the hospital. He was faithful to heal him. He was faithful to provide for me when I lost my job and I didn't have any means to provide for my family. And then he was faithful to bring me into ministry when I didn't see there to be any way that I was going to be able to enter into ministry as a pastor. He has been faithful in planting this church where he supernaturally provided provision for us to move from Atlanta to Asheville and to bring my family up here, to provide us a home, to bring people with us from Atlanta to support us and to encourage us. He has been faithful through all the transitions and the ups and downs. And then when everybody left, he was faithful to say, "Am I not enough?" And then all of a sudden, he brings more and more people. He brought a wonderful church to join this church to help give strength and encouragement and support. And they even brought all the chairs. I mean, he's so faithful. I mean, the chairs you're sitting in came from another church. And he brought a wonderful, and the whole church came with us. And I mean, I'm looking back on the faithfulness of God. And I'm telling you, it is true. He will back and complete that which he started in you. And he's not done with you yet. As you trust him, as you obey him, it releases the very nature of who he is in your life. So looking back, I want to be able to tell my children, because now we have one of our youngest getting ready to have a child. He will be faithful to you as a father. He will be faithful to watch over your children. He will be faithful in your marriages. And God is faithful. And so in that, it's not because of our cleverness or our abilities or anything else. It's not our spirituality. It's because that is who he is. And he can't be anything other than he is. And he loves to give good gifts to his children. So I want you to know that if you're in a trial right now, God is faithful and he is going to see you through this trial that you're in right now. And it might have started in a way you didn't like, but I'm going to tell you something. The good news is that he brings together everything for good. Our assurance is knowing that he does everything for good, brings it for good in our lives. So in that, Psalm 18:25, David said this to the Lord. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. So how can you enter into God's faithfulness? How can you benefit from it? How can you draw from it? By being faithful to God on your part, on your side of the equation. To be committed. It really takes three things. It takes three things on our part to be faithful to God. And that is this. First, we are committed to him. We are his. We are to be obedient to him. And we're to be diligent in giving of our whole heart to him. So we need to make this an aim of our living, that we're to really come with God, alongside God, in this process of faithfulness. So I kind of want to talk about quickly three forms of faith that we'll find in the New Testament. And the first kind is the kind that where we live by faith. It's the kind of faith that enables us to live this Christian life. We believe that all things are possible to them who believe. It's the kind of faith that we put in action accordance with his word, and God unfolds the promises in our life. So we're actively involved in the faith process by exercising our faith on his word. The second kind of faith is the gift of faith. And it's listed in the gifts of the Spirit, but this is God's own faith. This is his supernatural faith that he gives to us in certain situations that releases miracles. It releases the unthinkable. It is the God kind of faith that unlocks just the supernatural realm of God in your life. It's a gift from him. The third kind of faith is the fruit of faith. It's an aspect of our character. It's something that has to be cultivated, tended to, nurtured over time. So the fruit of faith really kind of is what I want to close today on, because I think our faithfulness is something that needs to be given attention to. He's faithful to us, but are we faithful to him? So I want you to think about faith. It's kind of like two sides of a coin. If one of you had a coin in your pocket, I'd grab it right now. But if on one side of the coin, let's just call it faith, on one side. And faith is really learning to depend on God in every situation, every circumstance. You're learning to depend on him. This trial that I just recently went through, I realized and was reminded again and again and again, I can depend on God. I can depend on him no matter what I'm going through. The other side is faithfulness. It's being dependable. Being the kind of person others can depend on, that includes both God and people. So let's just first start out with kind of like, what does faith look like? Well, faith is a quiet, steady, continuing trust in God's faithfulness. That's what faith looks like. It is a quiet, steady, continuing trust in God's faithfulness. And the fruit of faith does not panic. It doesn't get flustered. It doesn't get frustrated. It does not think that things are not going well, so you turn your back and you give up. It's a quiet, steady, unruffled, and continuing trust in God. No matter what your circumstances are, you're trusting in him. You know that he's going to come through. Faith kind of helps you steady your emotions to a point where you know that he's coming through for you. So there's really one significant scriptural basis for this is Romans 8:28. It says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you know all things are working together for good for you, there's never any reason for us not to trust him. We know that he's about working from this angle and this angle, bringing it all together so that when it's before us, we think, wow, God, you're so good and I can trust you. But it's important that we remember that we are meeting God's conditions in terms of faithfulness. And God's conditions are that we are committed to him and are flowing in this purpose for our life. We're committed to this whole process. And if we know with a certainty that we're committed to God and we're flowing in this purpose, We know that God is working together everything for good. So there's never any reason for us to panic, to give up, and not trust in Him anymore. I'm grateful for the Lord's breakthrough this last week. If I went into the details of it and shared it with you, you would understand why I was so happy. It was truly a miracle what God did. And in that, I am telling you, there might be some situations where your backup is a backup against the wall, and you're like, God, unless you come through, this is not going to be good. In that very position, I want you to know that if you set your eyes on His faithfulness and you put your trust in Him, He is going to see you through. He is going to bring you through it, and there's going to be a victory. And we might even get some testimonies next week. But the reality is that He is at work for you, and He is going to see you through this. But I want you to understand that there's a key to all of this on your part as you walk and be faithful before God, and that is really your own commitment to Him. So I want to read to you 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1:12. I kind of want to paint the background of this. I mean, this is a letter that Paul wrote near the end of his life. And he was a prisoner in a Roman jail. He was older, and he was suffering from some sort of pain, and he didn't have enough warm clothing. I mean, he was writing Timothy to bring him his winter cloak. So the guy was he was cold in his prison cell. He was awaiting trial, and it's probable that he was going to be executed at the hands of Nero. And some of his faithful friends had forsaken him. And there was really absolutely nothing in his circumstances that would encourage him. I mean, really everything in the natural wasn't going well. And yet this is what he writes. For this reason, I also suffer for these things. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. And the key word that I want you to see is entrusted. King James says committed, but either word, they're both good words. But the key to trust is entrusting everything to Him. Entrusting, putting it all in you're not going to say, God, let me have just a little bit of this. You're giving it all to Him. You're entrusting everything into His care. And you're really not holding back without reservation. You're saying, God, I give it all to You. It's totally in Your hands. And I'm totally committed to You right now. And I give it all to You right now. And when you know for sure that everything, as you've entrusted this all to Him, you know then that's when He's able to say, all things work together for good. Because He's at work for you. Because trust comes from entrusting everything to Him. That's how trust is developed, but when you entrust everything to Him. The hardest thing for me, probably over the years, has been entrusting my children into the care of God's hands. A part of me just doesn't want to let go, wants to make sure they're okay, they're protected. And I mean, there's been many nights I couldn't sleep all night long worrying about them. And I've had to learn to entrust them to Him, that He is able to care for them and take care of them as they choose to move away to other states. Go far and away from me. And yeah, I know. But, it is hard. Come on, It's like, why do you guys make being a grandpa and being a father so expensive by living in other states now? I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord. But I have proved his faithfulness over and over and over again in my life. And I'm absolutely convinced that God is faithful. Now, the fruit of faithfulness is letting God work out his faithfulness in you. Think about that. The fruit of faithfulness is now allowing God to work out his faith in you. And I want to tell you something, that it takes practice. It takes time. It just doesn't happen. Shazam. You have to cultivate it. You have to tend to it. All fruit has to be cultivated. All fruit. There's no fruit that requires more cultivating than the fruit of faithfulness. And it starts with the small things. It starts with the little things. Because Jesus says in Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in very little things is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. You know, faithfulness starts in the very little things. You know, I mean, a lot of people got the wrong impression when it comes to faithfulness. We think that, you know, if we think, well, you know, if it's a small thing, that's really not worthwhile, you know, giving much attention to. If something's big and important, we're committed. And they'll really show what kind of person I am. When I got something big I'm committed to. Well, the reality is, in God's kingdom, it doesn't start that way. It starts out with being faithful in the little things, the small things. It starts out with just simple things. And in that, our character really is tested in the small things. Are you going to be faithful in the small things before you're promoted to the big things? You know, we need to just kind of like check ourselves, because we think we've arrived when we're in the big things, but you just don't step into the big things. It has to be an unfolding thing that God blesses you with as you're faithful to him in the small things. So, how faithful are you as a person when no one's looking? How dependable are you? Is your yes a yes or your no a no? So, it begins with small things, not big things. It begins in the material things, not in the spiritual things, honestly. If you're faithful in the small things, God will commit to you the big things. If you're faithful in the material, in money, in your finances, in honoring God with your finances, with your tithes, with your life, then he will commit to you true spiritual riches. But whether it's faith or faithlessness, the word is commitment. And I mean, I remember when I first started out in ministry, it really started out in a way where was I going to be committed to him in cleaning the building and taking out the trash and cleaning the toilets? That's what I did. That's really what I did. We were renovating the building, and I was painting, and I was, you know, building, and I was cleaning, and I was making messes, and it was just, it wasn't pretty, but the Lord really spoke to me early on, and when he spoke about my senior pastor, my senior leader in the church, and he says, I want you to be committed to serving him and to loving him. Because he said at one time there's going to be many people that are going to leave him, and I want you to support him, even when everybody's leaving. And that actually began to unfold at one time, and I realized that I needed to be committed to loving him and supporting him, even in the midst when things weren't going well. And promotion in the kingdom is when you first start out serving under somebody, caring for somebody, and then promotion comes from the Lord, and then he elevates you to a position that he's called you to. But you really can't work in authority until you can learn to operate under authority. That's really, it's a principle in the kingdom. And you consider the other person more highly than you do yourself. And as you support and come under and give of yourself in that manner, then he's able to promote you in the bigger things or the things that he's called you to. So it all starts out in a small manner, but it's being faithful in those little things when no one's watching, because God is. And he sees that you're trustworthy. So really, I want to just, in closing, I kind of want to bring honor to our Father in heaven. And I really want to thank him for being the best father ever, who has never left me nor left you. He's never left you. And he's poured out within our hearts the spirit of sonship, which we're able to cry out, Abba, Father. So he's put the very birthright as a son in our heart, and our hearts cry out, Abba, Papa. So the very essence of sonship and having a father has been deposited within our hearts. So in that, we have this honor of calling the perfect father, Papa, Father. I mean, what a privilege we have to be able to have, I mean, when we look through the father, we look through the lens of fatherhood, it's a mixed bag from our natural fathers, is it not? I mean, there's some good things and there's some challenging things in that whole picture. And you think, okay, I got to honor, give honor where honor is due, honor fathers, honor your mother and father. Yes, amen. But it wasn't easy at times, right? Kind of all over the map. But the reality is, there is one true Father that is the perfect Father that our hearts long for and desire. And it's honoring him as a faithful father that all of a sudden we begin to emulate the one that we love as our father, and we are faithful to him. It brings about faithfulness even in your own life, because you are drawing from, and you know, more is caught than taught. You just watch them. You emulate what the father would do, and you become a faithful father in and of yourself and a faithful mother. So in that, he will be faithful to see us through to the end. And that very thing that he's called you to, he will be faithful to do it in you. Some of you might not even know this, but there could be still unfolding callings in your life that I want to encourage you in as it begins to be unfolded, and as you step out into it, it will begin to manifest itself before you. And that very thing that he started, he's going to complete it. And he's going to walk you through all the way to the end, where you're going to hear from him, "Well done, my good and faithful son and daughter. Enter into the joy of your good pleasure." So in that, we have a glorious opportunity to honor the best father ever today. And it's him. He is worthy of all praise and honor and glory on this day. So why don't we just now honor the Father, but let's just give him a warm, just give him a clap. Come on, let's thank the Father. Come on. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Father. You are trustworthy. Thank you, Father. Amen. He is faithful. So, happy Father's Day. Now, I don't want all those little wonderful delicacies in the back going to my house, because anything left over, it always goes to my house. I want all those gone. Fathers, grab yourself a Danish before you go. I think they're Danish or something. Yeah, muffins. And so, let's just stand. Let's just end this time in prayer. I had the sense as I was preparing this that there were some that are in the heat of a trial, and you haven't seen a breakthrough. You haven't seen God's hand really moving in the situation, and at times this might have even felt unbearable. But I want to encourage you that God will lighten the load. He will begin to lift that which is unbearable, and he will provide for you a way of escape, that you are going to come out of the trial, the testing, and he's going to bring you out into the open and bring you into a good land. A good place. So, Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus that you would pour out your grace and your strength into the hearts of everyone here today. And Father, I'm asking today that you would strengthen and encourage anyone that's in the midst of a test or a trial at this very moment. The Lord, they're going to come through it, and that your love will never fail them, that they can trust you. You are trustworthy. So, Lord, I pray today for you to pour out your love and grace upon each and every one here today. And, Father, I pray your blessings richly be upon each and every one. And Father, I'm asking right now that you would just speak to that one that just needs encouragement, that you're a faithful God. You're faithful, and you're going to see them through it. And Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you need some prayer, some encouragement, I want to encourage you to come forward. If we have maybe a couple of the prayer team come on up. If you're kind of going through in the midst of a trial and you're kind of waiting for a breakthrough, I just want us just to be here for you and to pray with you and encourage you. So if you need prayer, I want you to come forward and get some prayer. And Father, I pray you bless and keep each and every one, that Lord, you'd make your face shine upon everyone and be gracious to them, and that you would lift up your countenance upon them and give them your peace. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, let your peace rest upon Jerusalem and protect your people. In Jesus' name, amen.